You'll find it just repeating itself in different things, different areas of threes. And this psalm tonight we're going to be looking at deals with this subject that I believe many of us struggle with. And I would say that all of us probably have struggled with at least one time in our life. And it is the issue of waiting on the Lord. Waiting on God. Or I might put it in a little bit different phrase that might sound a little bit funny, but I want to put it this way so maybe draw your attention to it. Being patient with God. Being patient with God. That's quite an undertaking for us earthlings, isn't it? I mean, to be patient with God. It's one thing for you to say, be patient with one another. I mean, that can be hard. That can be difficult. I sometimes have to be patient with my own self, I feel like. But to be patient with the Lord, to wait on the Lord, is definitely an undertaking that all of us have difficulties with in times in our lives. To wait on the Lord. And be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord, as we'll see in Psalm 27, 14 here in just a little bit. But I want to encourage you tonight that if you want and I want and if we want to have stronger, bolder, firmer faith, then we must be patient with the Lord. We must wait on the Lord and be of good courage. God is very gracious to us at times, and He allows us to see things come to their fruition. He allows to see things come to pass, sometimes very quickly, sometimes in a matter of months, and sometimes in a matter of years. But He's very gracious in the fact that He allows things to stop. I bet Noah thought that God was very gracious when it stopped raining after 40 days and 40 nights. I can't handle rain for almost 4 days and 4 nights. And you imagine 40 days and 40 nights, rain pounding all over the place. And Noah definitely found that God was a good God. God was a God of His Word. But there's other times in our lives that we have to understand that if we always got what we wanted or hoping for right away, then that probably would not leave very much room for faith in the Christian life. If we just got it right now, but that's not how it works. And if we want to have stronger, bolder, firmer faith in our lives, then we're going to have to learn to wait on the Lord. I'm going to jump right into the message this evening and deal with this very first thing. I want to deal with, first of all, that if we're going to have this faith that we're talking about tonight, if we're going to wait on the Lord, then we need to put away pointless tasks. We need to put away some useless things out of our lives. Out of all the things, persons, and times to be patience with the Lord is perhaps the hardest of them all. I was thinking about that for just a little bit. You really, when you're being patient with God, it's hard to be so because you can't really get frustrated with God if you're a Christian. You say, why can't you? Well, because the more you think about it and logically begin to go over it in your mind, you begin to understand and think to yourself, well, He is pretty loving God, right? I know. I mean, God is all wise. Like, He kind of knows what He's doing, right? God is all powerful. He's in a good conscience. We can't ever really feel legitimate about being frustrated with God. Inside of us, there is a deep and practical understanding that everything God does is, as it says, His way is perfect. It's perfect. You say, well, I wouldn't have done it like that. Well, you're not God, okay? You're not God. You're not the Lord. And God does things in ways and situations that He does things, and He does things to please His own timing. Some have called this sovereignty. I have no problem with that word. It's a great word. It just means completely and totally in control. And that's what God is. He's totally in control. But you know, there are some pointless tasks that we can have when being patient with God that will not work out for us, and that's frustration. You know, there was a man in the Bible named Asaph. Asaph was really focused in on some rich guys that were wicked around there in Jerusalem. They were not good men. They were ungodly men. They were wicked people. And he got really mad at God. He got really frustrated with his walk with the Lord because he saw those wicked, ungodly people prospering and doing a really good job and having a really good success. And he wasn't. And his walk with God began to get frustrated. And it got so frustrating to walk with the Lord that he almost says he almost leaves the faith. Do you know that Asaph was the song leader of Israel? He was the song leader. He was the guy that was the choir director. He was looked up to. And he came to a point in his life that frustration had overtaken him and that he almost got to the place that he almost felt like he was going to leave off God. So that's not an option. What about worry? Is that a good option? No. For the Bible tells us in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing. You know what that word means? It means be anxious. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and your peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Somebody said one time that that worrying never helps matters. Worrying never builds buildings. Worrying never builds families. Worrying does nothing for your life. You can worry all you want to, but it will accomplish absolutely what? Nothing. Nothing. Worrying accomplishes nothing. Because whenever you begin to worry, you get anxious. You become unfaithful. And deep down inside, you begin to know and understand that your worrying is not doing anything at all. Somebody said that worrying never saves sailors from sinking ships. Worrying never saves sailors from sinking ships. The third thing that is a pointless task to do whenever we're waiting on God is self-dependence. What does the Bible say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and what? Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Could possibly just doing things your own way and solve anything? Well, you can try that. And many have, and you have, and I have. But you oftentimes find out that when you miserably and horribly fail, that God wasn't in the thing. Well, what scares me even more whenever I try to do things on my own and I do succeed? Wow, that's really scary. Because even in your success, you can be miserable. It's just like when God told the Israelites, I'm not going with you to Canaan land. It's too late now. And they went anyhow and they were killed and wounded. Frustration, worry, and even self-dependence will never replace waiting on God. It's perhaps one of the key elements of the Christian life is waiting on the Lord. And now some of you are ready for the big moment here, aren't you? You're wondering why there's a recliner and another chair here in here, aren't you? I mean, that's what you all have been wanting to know in the entire this whole entire time, right? You don't really care about the messages, so I want to know whether the recliner is here. I can't reveal it too early, okay? Or you'll just leave here, you know? Frustration, worry, self-dependence, anxiety, all those things right there. Like sitting in an old folding chair, old hard metal folding chair. You ever sit in an old hard folding metal chair, you know? I mean, they're all right for a little while. But they ain't there to just be in your life. You ain't there to sit there for hours on end right there. I mean, you don't want to sit in something like this the all night long watching a ball game, all right? You don't want to sit here. I mean, you want to sit there, right? We will get to there in just a little bit, all right? But I'm telling you right now in our lives that many times frustration, anxiety, worry, self-dependence, self-reliance is like sitting in an old metal folding chair. I mean, you can do it for a little while, but after a little while, it becomes very uncomfortable. It becomes very dissatisfying. It becomes very unpleasant. And so we come to our text here tonight in Psalm chapter number 37 in verses number 7, 9, and 34. The Bible says in verse number 7, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Verse number 9. for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Verse number 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. We not only have pointless tasks, but we also have a passing opportunity. And I don't mean a passing opportunity. I mean literally a passing opportunity. Pass the ball. I remember when I was playing ball as a young boy, I played ball some when I was growing up, and maybe you had some kids, or maybe you did yourself. I wasn't a very good ball player or anything, but I can remember there were times when the coach would stand on the sidelines and he would yell out these words, pass the ball! Pass the ball! You got one guy out there and he's got this ball and he's trying to dribble it between his legs, behind his back, and do all these other things, and you got the coach on the sideline saying, pass the ball! Get rid of the ball! Get rid of the ball! And I feel like sometimes in life is that we're just wanting to do things so much ourselves. We get frustrated, we get irritated, we get worried when we don't see things going at the speed we're like it. And you know what we need to do? We need to let go of the ball, which is our life, and say, here you go, God. It's not mine anymore. We need to be a good Larry Bird, if you will, and pass that ball and get it to somebody else and say, I don't want to do this. I can't do it alone. A basketball team is not built on one guy. It's got five other guys there. Whenever that championship time came for Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, and they were winning championship after championship, and the winning shot was to be determined. Who took the shot? Was it MJ? No, he passed it off to Steve Kerr. And there it was, the winning bucket for that game. You see, passing the ball and giving it to somebody else, and I'm telling you to give the ball to God, my friend, because here's the thing, give God His space, give Him time to work, don't get ahead of Him. I know it might seem like an oxymoron because you can't ever really get ahead of God, but what I mean is this, is that don't jump until He says go, don't move until He says move, don't jump, don't leave until He says leave. Do what God wants you to do. It will not thwart His plans if you do, it will not mess up His decrees, His plans and wills will keep passing on like a ship in the night. But I'll tell you this, if you jump ship before it's too early, is that your life, your will, and your ways may be ruined. It may be hurt, but waiting on God is profitable, is good, and it yields wonderful results. Jacob was waiting on God to take him home, and he did. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 17, you've got the children of Israel lined up for battle. It's a great story. You ought to read 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 sometime. They're lined up for a great battle and they're waiting on God to do a work. They don't know what's going to happen. Jehoshaphat and the rest of the army are sitting there waiting on God, waiting on a word from God. And Jehoshaphat says, I got an idea. I say, what is it? We're ready for anything. What's the idea, Jehoshaphat? I says, I got it right here, guys. It's a great war plan. I say, okay, tell us, what is it? He says, bring out the choir. What? Bring out the choir. Bring them out here and let them start singing the praises of God. And he says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, nor tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You know what God did when they started singing those praises to God? Those people on the other side started beating down themselves and killing themselves. And God wrought a great victory that day. But I love what Jehoshaphat said. He said those simple words. He said, stand ye still. And I tell you, how many times in life do we want to get ahead of God? We don't want to wait on the Lord. We don't want to move. We want to move whenever He hasn't said to go yet. And David in Psalm 37 is saying to God, God, I'm worried. I'm scared. I don't know what's going to happen, but I want to wait on you. Moses was worried. He didn't know what was going to happen at the Red Sea, but he waited on God and he saw the salvation of the Lord because he parted the Red Sea. Simeon was waiting on God for the Messiah, and guess what? The Messiah showed up. And today, you and I, my friend, are waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day He's coming, my friend. Waiting takes all kinds of forms, and I'm just encouraging you here today. Don't get ahead of God in death. or in battles, or in the wicked man's ways, or in the salvation of God, or his soon return, his help, his strength, or his provision. God will do as he wants to do in his time. You say, so does that mean I just sit around and do nothing, right? That's not what it means at all. Not what it means at all. Have you ever actually understood what the word rest means in the Bible? I didn't really know what it meant. He goes, well, this means rest. Well, it actually means a little bit differently. It has a little different meaning. It actually means to be done. Now, just to educate us all here just a little bit here tonight, it doesn't mean that you're dumb or you're stupid, okay? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about literally cannot speak, all right? Dumb. Have no ability to speak. He's telling us to quiet our mouths. It means to be astonished, quiet, still. I wrote this in the notes. Many times we just talk too much. We just don't close our mouths. We have too many reasons. We have too many excuses. In his reference, in a reference of Psalm 4:4, David says, stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Every once in a while in life, you know what's good for us to do is just to be quiet. Say, I don't like quietness, you know. It kind of feels weird. We do live in a society today that doesn't like quietness. Everybody likes to put something in their ears. We all like to listen to music. We like to have something playing. It would be good for us if we just had some quiet time. That used to be a word that was used a lot probably 20 years ago. Quiet time. Quiet time. When it's just you and God waiting on Him. How many of you been to a waiting room lately? Anybody? Miss Sherry? Been in a waiting room lately? The thing about a waiting room is this. Is that when you come to a waiting room, you sit down, quietly mind your own business. You read one of those obscure magazines that you have no idea what it is, you know. You sit down, you're quiet. Maybe you brought your kids along for an appointment and you're trying to hush them and keep them quiet, not to bother anybody else, you know. You're even perhaps in that room and you're waiting to see the doctor. Perhaps you're waiting for on some test results or a news from the scan that was redone or there to relieve some pressure from a toothache that you've got right there. Now you can sit there and you get frustrated. You can worry. You can be anxious. You can get mad at the receptionist if you'd like to, but I tell you what, it's not going to help you get back in the waiting, get back and see the doctor anytime sooner, all right? It's not going to help any at all. But when that receptionist finally says the doctor will now see you, perhaps you're nervous, perhaps that you were a little frustrated, perhaps you were a little worried, but now the doctor is in front of you and he's there to help you. But you know, think about it. That's how we should approach God on a daily basis. Every single day, go into the waiting room of God and say, God, I need you. You're the great physician. You're the great doctor. I can't handle my issues. I can't handle my problems. I don't know how to go from point A to point B, God. I need your help, Lord. I don't want to worry. I don't want to be frustrated because that right there is dissatisfying. That's uncomfortable. That's not a good place to be. But you know what I want to do is I want to rest in God. I've been waiting to sit in this all day right here. Rest in the Lord. That's what a recliner is, isn't it? I'm going to do it. You know, to kick it back, you know what I mean? And just rest in God. So that's a little sacrilegious. I don't think so at all, my friend. Rest in the Lord. In Him. Not necessarily in a lazy boy, a recliner, or a folding chair. I'm saying rest in God. Let God be your rest. Let God be the one that you take your pleasure in. Let God be the one that you find your satisfaction in. Because I tell you this, I've done it before. I can sleep in one of those things right there. But I can't sleep in that thing right there. You say, well, you've never been tired enough. I don't want to be that tired, okay? I can sleep in one of those. I can rest in one of those things. I can stay in one of those things all night long and enjoy myself. Because if you're going to be a stronger, bolder, and have a firmer faith in the Christian life, then you're going to have to find that your rest, your waiting, your patience must be in God, my friend. It must be in Him. It cannot be in yourself. We see not only a pointless task, but we also see this promised blessing. Because as you begin to wait on God, can I encourage you this evening? I'm here to encourage you, you know. As I see that in the scriptures, and we don't have the time to look at all 27 verses here this evening, but there are verse after verse after verse after verse after verse that teach us that waiting on God produces results that are beyond our imagination. When Jesus is given the parable on the good seed in the Gospel of Luke in chapter number 8 and verse number 15, He tells us that when the good seed fell on that good ground and that it was an honest and good ground, that the Bible says that it began to be, that they haven't heard the word, they keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. With patience. I think about an old apple farmer that is just beginning to grow his apple grove. And he plants a few trees, and he plants a few more, and he plants a few more. And year by year he tends to them, and he gets maybe an apple or two each year. And it's really not very much, and it's really not very satisfying. And maybe 4, 5, 6 years pass down the road. And then one day he goes out and he sees that his apple trees that he worked so hard and worked so long and spent so much time on finally have yielded a whole tree of apples. And man, his heart is overjoyed. And my friend, if you're in the Christian life, that I'll tell you that patience will yield some fruit beyond your wildest dreams. The Bible says in Psalm 27:14, it yields strength. In Psalm 62 in verse number 1, it says it yields salvation. In Psalm 130 in verse number 5, it says it yields hope. In Isaiah 25:9, it tells us that patience is a key element in producing joy and gladness. Psalm Isaiah 26:8 tells us that it produces a longing for God. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:25 that patience produces goodness. Psalm 25:3, it produces boldness. Psalm 25:21, it produces integrity and righteousness. And Psalm 33:20, it produces help. And Psalm Isaiah 8:17, it produces diligence. And Psalm 123 in verse number 2 produces mercy. And in Habakkuk verses number chapter number 2 and verse number 3, it produces vision. And that's just a small sampling, my friend. You can have fruit that is abounding, is a moreover. You say, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But do you realize that every single one of those pieces of fruit will produce more fruit in your life? You ever thought about that? That one apple doesn't produce one apple, but one apple will produce multiple apples. For there and then that apple contains within it the seeds that are able to produce not just one tree, but 5 trees. And then it can give multiple apples from tree after tree after tree after tree after tree. Patience with God is not a light matter, my friend. Waiting on the Lord is not just some little fanciful subject that we read in our devotional books in the morning, okay? Waiting on God is a great matter. It's all over the place in the Scriptures. David waited on God while the enemy was trying to attack him on the hills. Daniel waited on God as he sat there all night and looked at lions that were about to eat him. You imagine that? Waiting on God. He sees the angel. He says, is the angel going to leave? Is he going to stay here? Don't leave me, buddy. Don't leave me, Michael, Gabe. Please don't leave me here. I got these lions here. Noah waited 40 days and 40 nights. As that rained upon the face of the earth. He said, well, I'm not hiding in caves, preacher, and I'm not facing a mouthful of teeth, and I'm not facing no catastrophic flood. Oh, well, I guess God and I forgot that. I guess those verses don't apply to us then, do they? Maybe you don't think that your kid's salvation is worth that much. Maybe you don't think that praying for the sick is worth that much. Maybe you don't think that purity for your spouse is worth that much, or your testimony to your family is kind of pointless. Of course not. You don't think anything like that. You see all of those things that are worthwhile in your life. You see Noah facing a flood and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego facing a fiery furnace, and you raising godly children and you sharing a gospel tract with somebody, and are you praying for that lost soul that, I tell you, is this too hard to be won by anybody else? Are you praying for that sick relative? Are you working a job with that little recognition while all the time you wait on God and you serve God and you seek after God and you depend upon God? I'll tell you right now, you're just as much as a giant of faith as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego or Noah or any other rest of them, my friend. Invariably, many times we think in our lives that serving God or coming to church or reading our Bible or reading a devotional book or maybe praying in a pinch is just kind of just things we do. There's really not much in serving God. But I'll tell you what, my friend, there's a lot in serving the Lord. There's a lot in being patient on God. There's boldness to witness. There's hope. There's integrity. There's joy, the unspeakable and full of glory. There's a vision from God and for your family and for the Lord. So if I'm going to keep myself from getting worried and frustrated with God and stepping out in front of Him, if I do those things, if I find myself performing pointless tasks, you know what I'm going to get? I'm going to get the exact opposite. I'm going to get the exact opposite. I'm going to suffer from a lack of vision, a lack of help, laziness. I'm going to suffer being wrong. I'm going to have a departure from the Lord. I'm going to be fearful and weak and sad. Now, I nor you, we don't want that in our lives. I believe all of us want to live prosperously and experience the blessings of God to the max. All the way, as he even says, as I read in Psalm 37, verse number 9, that those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we truly just believed that we needed to wait on God every single day? Wait for that next blessing. Wait for that next promise. Wait for that prayer request to be answered. Wait. Wait. Because I'll tell you what, my friend, when you don't wait on God, it's like sitting in an old metal folding chair. It's okay for a little bit. It's all right. It holds you up for an hour or so. Then it gets a little uncomfortable, you know, and your rear end starts to hurt. Your back kind of gets out of whack a little bit. You just want to stand up, but the preacher won't stop preaching, you know, and everything. It's frustration, worry, anxiety. But when we rest in the Lord, I'll tell you what, my friend, there is blessing. There is comfort. There is hope. There's vision. There's grace abounding. There's joy unspeakable and full of glory. I got no joy sitting in a metal folding chair, my friend. I got some joy sitting right here. I got some happiness. I got some gladness. I've got some peace. You want peace? Have patience with God. You want some goodness? Wait on the Lord. You want some integrity? Then start waiting on God. Isaiah says this, "If therefore, and therefore, will the Lord wait." Did you catch that? "And therefore the Lord will wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him." You know what God's waiting for you to do? God's waiting on you to wait on Him. God's waiting on you to wait on Him. He's there, extended out, hands open. Mercy and grace are offered. They're being there. They're saying, "It's here, my friend. I'm waiting on you to wait on me, to rest in me, to find peace in me." If you want stronger, bolder, firmer faith, then you're going to have to learn to wait on God. Wait on the Lord Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And it's almost like David knew we didn't get it the first time, so he says it again. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, help us to wait. It's a difficult thing to do in life.